Welcome back to the Artist Coaching Podcast. I've got a soundboard somewhere.
We need some applause, man.
Oh, wait.
Well, don't make it techie, please.
That's it.
Live here with a live audience in the studio.
Yeah, we're all back.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
Recorded in front of a live audience.
How are you?
We're good, man.
Hungry.
It's 2 o'clock. Didn't you have a proper lunch?
Just now, but it's my after lunch snack.
After lunch. Oh, so what was the snack? Like a protein bar or more like a candy bar? Nature Valley protein. Oh, wow.
Gains.
And we need some sponsors. Nature Valley.
Nice.
No, they're just very good. I don't need them for the protein per se, but try them out. They're very good.
They're nice. Okay, the good news is we got a lot of questions from last episode's.
We asked for questions.
Yeah, but there's a word for that. How do they call that?
We don't know.
Something like that. But the good point is we did get a lot of questions. The maybe bad point is we have to go through all of them. So
are those all the people that listened, right? That stayed till the end.
Exactly.
Kudos to you guys. Woo! Yeah.
So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 8 to 10 questions.
Let's go.
From the people who stick to the end, who managed to listen to our crap for about an hour.
Yeah, let's go.
And then took the effort to actually send in questions. A few of them went to the Discord and a few of them replied on the YouTube video. And that's all okay.
I think they are just looking at us, thinking, whoa, this is so cringe. Let's help those guys out. We're the underdog.
You can feel the pain. You can feel the pain. watching us.
The worst podcast in the history of podcasts. It's us.
Let's go. Question one. Fire.
Question one. That's from... that's a nice one. It's from Nick Mills. And it's aimed for Ralph. He has sent in a demo a few times, but you never really responded. What's the best way to send one?
Ralph
is always saying he's responding to most of the ones.
No. I always say I respond if I like it.
So that's the answer.
Maybe I didn't see it.
What?
This is a good thing to know. We DJs, we reply if we like it. But it doesn't mean that we have actually, if you don't get a reply, that we've heard it. Because we get so many demos, you can't listen to them all.
Yeah, what most producers do when they send in a demo, they obviously see at SoundCloud or whatever if someone listened to it. So they track the stats. So it's hard to bullshit someone who can track the stats.
Yeah, I'm just looking at where it's Nick Mills, right?
Nick Mills. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see it now. Results, we transfer.
Probably that link.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, I never click we transfer stuff. What I like is when somebody sends a mail with a SoundCloud link, that always works. Yep. Or a Dropbox link, that's also cool.
Yeah, because you don't want to download stuff.
Nah. No, rather not. You never know, you know, if you click something and, they drive away with your car. I don't know how to do it.
Tech bros.
Well, you just don't like to download stuff. Some people also, they attach a track to the mail they send out. Dude.
Yeah, don't do that because it's loading. Make a SoundCloud link, probably downloadable, very important. Put the downloads on, because if a DJ likes it, it's at that moment that they instantly need to download it. I've had times where I liked the track. I wanted to download it, download disabled, I forgot about that track and you'll never see it again because you get so many, you just forget.
And another good tip is if you send a private link, make sure that the shared link is also the private one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't come to the right destination with the link you sent. So make sure that when you send a mail, check the link you've sent, double check, do all the things.
I'm not sure if we discussed this before in the artist podcast, but sometimes people are really afraid that their ideas and stuff are getting stolen. But is that really the case that it happens?
I don't know.
I don't have that experience at all.
I've heard it a lot, but I've never heard someone where it actually happened.
It's happened to me.
To you?
You?
Yeah, like...
You made animals, right?
I made animals and some guy... No, 15 years ago or something, I think. And I was on a forum, the Vata Gonzalez forum. And some guy was going around stealing tracks from there because he would just be like, hey, I got a new track. What do you guys think? And he had it released. And then I had like the whole Vato army together. We just reported that guy and made sure that like we emailed him. And
yeah, so but then, we did everything to... then you've put it on a public place. Like if you send a direct email, it's not necessarily a public place. You send it to someone you can trust, let's say. But if you put it on a public platform, a public forum, that's something different, I would say.
Yeah. Well, back then, yeah. I don't know.
And how do you guys think about this one? Because I'm also struggling. It's like the cover is the next gold, you know? And covers work. Really? And I mean, look at the charts, man. It's all covers. Yeah.
Oh, covers as in known songs. Yeah, I was thinking about the visual artwork.
No. Covers.
Okay. Covers. Okay.
The songs.
Yeah.
We're talking about music here, Joey.
Yeah, I just have to stick with it. Yeah.
Okay. Not about traveling with your coffers.
Wait. I have to be more on spot. With
it took also 2 hours to load. Wait, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But
did I hear something? Let's say it's like a housey track. They did a cover of something. And then I think, okay, it's a cool idea, but I can do it better. Let's make it better. And can you then release it as it being your own, as the first one was already a cover?
What
great line, right?
I think what
Ralph means is like, let's say you make a bootleg and you think like, whoa,
cover. Sometimes I hear covers on Spotify of a track. And I think, wow, nice of you to do that track, but I can do it better. You get me?
Yeah, so you make your own cover from the same original.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay, right? Why not?
Well, yeah, but there is another cover which you always follow a certain path which the vocal will lead you to, you know? So in the end, yeah, I mean, if somebody makes a house remix of, let's say, Frans Bauer, Heb Je Even Voor Mij, and then you drop with the vocal on a house beat, or you drop with a vocal with, let's say, a techno Oompa 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 beat. It's kind of different, but it's practically still the same, but will sound very different.
Yeah, but you're just making a new cover from the same original, right? So everyone makes covers from one track. So why not?
But you will maybe arrange it a little bit the same way as the other cover.
You get inspired by. You don't copy.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I listen to Inspire Radio by Jay Hardway.
Shameless plug.
No, good to know. Oh. Good to know. That's the answer then. Next question.
Yeah, next question. Abstracto asks, what's your take experience with time management? As in, let's see. Yeah, time management. But he has a follow-up question. Let me check. Yeah, how would you structure your day, week, as in with social media or DJing or music production? Like, is there a structure to it, or is it just freewheeling all over the place?
I would say, if you don't have kids yet, you have so much time, you wouldn't even believe. So while you don't have time, you don't even need to manage, because there's so much time left.
You do notice that this is kind of like a red line through our whole podcast, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ruin everything.
Don't have kids. I think managing time, I've always found that quite difficult. Especially when you need to like have an income and maybe need to go to school and all these things, and then you also want to make music. I just remember spending a lot of evenings and nights just like making music after school. Just every little hour I could find that.
Hey,
it's a future guest, Max from Dirtcast.
Yes,
future guest on the podcast.
Hi,
yo,
Max.
Then I really was making music every hour I could find, or every, especially in the evenings a lot. I didn't go out much. Managing, I never really did that, but I just made sure to make a lot of music, just put in the hours.
Did it change over time because social media became more of a thing?
No, not really. With social media, I always feel like if I don't have anything to say, I won't say it. So if I don't have anything fun to share, I won't share it. But then again, when I do have a cool idea, yes, there's going to be some hours in that for editing or making it. And but I think maybe I'm not very organized, I think, as a person. I think Ralph is. So I just don't have a good answer. What is the question again?
I saw Ralph nodding. Yes, it changed a lot. Can you please explain?
Yeah, it changed insanely much.
How do you manage your time? You are a bit more structured. The way how I
yeah,
know you.
You know, to be honest, don't start with kids. Don't start with kids.
Yeah. What was the question?
No. It was also a shitty answer, Jopke. But to be honest, no, spending your time on social media is so much more important now, because you can make all the music you want. You have to bring it to the people. And Jopke from his elite statue, his ivory tower, is nodding no, but it is. And and you see the whole TikTok game, you see people emerge from there.
If your music's shit, you will sell shit. So like, your music has to be good. So before you can like,
no,
actively...
but your music has to be good. Everything has to be good. You have to do way more than before.
Yeah, but first of all, the music has to be good. So if that's not the case, then go back to that, is what I'm saying. So yes, then you don't need social media yet.
Yeah. Also, kind of disagree. Not all music that's cool is really good music. Sometimes it's just a cool idea, or you can party to it. It's evokes
the
right emotion.
Then social media becomes a thing, maybe.
Yeah, but it's now so much more important. If you just even we have quite a lot of followers on Spotify. If we release a track and we don't do our efforts, it will just die out. You really have to invest in the track, but not only social media is making content, but also banners are really important, ads, all that kind of shit. Luckily, you have labels for that.
You can hear how funny things all that. How fun he thinks all that is. All that shit.
No, but it's just a lot. And then when it comes to time management, what I'm really struggling with is sometimes one. It's multiple aspects now of being in the music industry, whereas before it was way more narrow and you could oversee it more easily. But now you have to think of so many things, it's easy to overlook a certain aspect.
Yeah, so how do you structure it? Is there a structure, or is it more like every day you check what's necessary to do? And
yeah, but you know, you get lost in making music, especially because, man, I just zone out and then make a lot of noise. And then end of the day, sometimes I think like, oh, fuck me. I really had to post something on social media. But then you also need to go through all your videos, see if you can make a nice edit of it. It also has to work. It's not per se. That also depends on you, but if it's not serving a certain a group of people that like certain content, then there's just no use, because it has to. It's the main purpose is to reach people, to make sure your music is heard better. So
I think that purpose thing is a good thing, where you kind of learn to see what requires your attention and what doesn't. So, hey, what is the purpose of the video I'm posting? Let's say I've been away for a gig and I want to make an edit of it. It's going to cost me 3 hours. But what is the purpose? Oh, wait, I'm going to show people I was DJing, and like, you're going to attract a new audience that can see you DJing. Then it's like, oh, that has a purpose. But if I'm now like, hey, I want to do a music video, I'm really considering like, hey, what am I going to gain from it? And if I really don't see the like enough benefits, I won't do it. And I think that's something you'll learn along the way. And I think as a producer or anybody creative, there's some kind of a extra sense you kind of develop. And this is like, you need to know when to kick it into a higher gear, because creativity is not always going to be like there. So you can plan, oh, tomorrow I'm going from 9 to 5 to the studio, and I've had this many times, and then at 4:30 I'm like, oh shit, I just found this thing and I need to now work on it, and then I need to call home like, hey, I really just need this evening, I need to work on it a few more hours. But that's kind of a knowing when to kick it into a higher gear, because there's also days where you're like, you know what, it's 4, nothing's gonna happen today, I'm going home or to the gym, or yeah. And then there's days where you're like working around the clock, and it's really, I think, some kind of experience to know, okay, this is now, it's go time, something like that.
Yeah. Yes. So there's, with both of you, there's no real structure or thought about structure. It's more about going with the day-to-day stuff, realizing you need to do all of it.
Yeah. But you need to have like these things in motion that remind you of doing all the work. And
I have a task list.
Need to make lists. And then when Joppy starts talking,
Task list is the best thing ever. I have a task which I need to do today, and I need to finish that today. So it can be a track, it can be a feedback on a collab or whatever. And then there's like the week. So you kind of, and then you, every week you remind yourself of, hey, I need to do these things. Okay, that's what I'm going to do today. And I think that has become more of a thing now that I have a kid, and now that I have just certain times where I have to be home. Because before it was just kind of like, oh, I don't mind if I work till 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's like a hard deadline.
Yeah, yeah.
That helps, true.
Yeah.
Okay, next one from him in the Discord. If a new unknown producer signs with a major label, such as Spinin or something else, is there any room to negotiate, or would you advise the artist to take the deal and avoid complications, and later down the line negotiate if things turn out successfully?
I had this discussion actually with someone who was at the artist coaching lunch thing with ADE.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but the big label, and they want to sign, and how do I is this deal good? And I'm like, yeah, you can just ask for a different deal. If they say, hey, you get 10% of royalties, you can just literally mail them back, can we do 20? And you'll probably end up somewhere at like 15, or, but all the points in the contracts, especially big labels, are very much used to like give you a version, and they know like your lawyer or the artist will be like, can we change these points? And it's very normal to ask for more percentage, or
yeah,
it's good. You got to realize it's not like a it's kind of like a game, and it's not so much, yeah, they just put the I don't know how to say this in English, but they really give you a shit deal so that they will end up with a in-between deal where both parties are kind of happy. But the label the most happy.
I think it's good to realize that the first draft you get is always a draft, as in it's not the final contract. It's always there's room for negotiation with every first draft that you get. And I think the goal of every deal is that it works for both parties. It doesn't matter if you're a starting artist or a super well-known artist. It needs to work from both ends. Otherwise, it's not a contract. So the label needs to make money from it, and you need to feel comfortable with it as well. That doesn't necessarily have to mean that you make a lot of money from it, but it could also mean that you can benefit from their reach or from their brand that they've built. There's always some kind of value that you can get from a deal like that with Spinning, for example. You just need to figure out what you want to get out of the deal and what's enough for you.
Yeah.
So don't always focus on the percentages of the deal, but always look at what's the value I'm trying to get out of it.
I get that people are a little bit wary of asking for stuff.
Yeah.
To start with, what you want to be altered has to be reasonable. If you say like, oh, I want 80% of the royalty or even 50, not going to happen. I think a reasonable percentage for a starting out artist, well, it's unreasonable, but it's market conform, is 30-35%.
Ooh, watch out, people listening, watch out with that word, because that's a thing labels actually use, that word, to be like, yeah, but this is industry standard.
Yeah, but it is how it works. And okay, I'm not going to change the world here. Like I said, it's unreasonable, but it's industry standard.
Is it bigger for you guys? As in, the bigger you get, the higher the percentages get, or?
40, maybe 50 sometimes.
Yeah, so it's slightly higher.
Yeah. And then, and also, don't you sign away. Huh? And don't sign away your master for indefinite periods. That's also totally unreasonable.
yeah, nowadays.
Make sure it's 12 to 15.
Yeah, make sure it's a master license and not a master that you give away your master. Mm-hmm. If it's a license, you still own it, but you license it to the label so that they can exploit it for 15, 20 years.
12 to 15. 15 is reasonable.
Well, the labels are now
asking. Things you can always ask. You don't have to be afraid. If the label then decides to walk away, they weren't invested enough in your track anyway. Yeah. So if it's all within reason what you want, and they still decide, hey, well, fuck you then, we'll go to another artist, then it's better that way. Because if they don't want to give you a reasonable offer, then it's a red flag all over. They also they sign in volume, you know, a label. They have different, how do you say it?
Incentives,
exactly. As you as an artist, so they want to have as much music for as cheap as possible, but you just want quality services. So if they don't want to invest that, which is reasonable, then fuck them. Yeah
And I think the worst you can get is no, as in if you say, hey, I want you, they offer 30% and you say I want 35%. They offer 20 years, you say, I want 10. And they maybe say, okay, we'll give you 15 years and we can do 32. Or they say, no, we'll leave it at 30. But usually they come back with something like that. And then you can say, well, then you can decide for yourself if you still agree. It's not like they'll be like, well, fuck you then. That's really...
It's always a negotation.
Yeah. As soon as the contract's out, they are interested enough usually to listen to your requests.
Yeah.
And some things they can do, some things not. And you have to realize if you're a beginning artist, you just have a worse negotiation position. So like they take all the risk signing you and putting their time into you as an artist.
Okay.
Next question.
Follow-up question from him is most Spinning releases on average get like 20 to 40k views per release, whereas Rave Culture gets an average of 75k per release. If you were a less known artist that made melodic festival music, which label would you rather choose to release with? Even though Spinning is bigger and is more established, you might get more views signing with Rave Culture.
Views on like YouTube or something?
Yeah, like YouTube mainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is it about
choosing for a certain label like Rave Culture? They have W&W, which are the head honchos over there, and which might be a advantage is that they play your track on a big stage, and then it's heard by I don't know how many people, the ones who are and the ones who are heard on the live stream.
That's the main goal for every starting artist, right? It's the first goal you should have is reach an audience.
Exactly.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that like signing with an established label sounds nice, but if they are not able to reach as many people as a smaller label, then it just depends on
what the label does and stands for. If your music is really like what Rave Culture always does, then it's the obvious choice right there. I think they're both different. Revealed, Smash the House, Armada. Man, you have so many cool labels who stand for a different, just slightly different sound. And Spinning really has their merits and are really good at a lot of stuff. We like to release stuff there that has a little bit more potential to stream, whereas Club Tracks we rather do at a label which have DJs who stand for it, who can play it on a big stage. And that's how we make the choices.
Yeah, so you really have to look at what you're trying to achieve with that.
Definitely,
certain track.
Always, always. I mean, you don't need labels also, right? Just go on SoundCloud, hyped at it. Yeah, no, but we do it a lot now. We actually are really into SoundCloud now again, and with our bootlegs, which is, besides, it's a lot of fun. You can reach a lot of cool people who are there really grinding to get cool music for their sets, for the parties they play, you know. And it's all about reach and audience, and it doesn't matter where it comes from. Yeah, and depends on what you try to establish. I think, certain labels have certain merits, and choose wisely.
Another question from King Cole, which is a more...
That's King Cole. He's famous.
King Cole, I don't know. King Cole. If a drop is sounding boring or not professional, what technique would you use to bring it to life? Is there a certain
one
trick?
Plugin that will fix all of this?
Soundgoodizer.
Soundgoodizer. Just put it on. You're done, man. You're done.
I mean,
now this is
why reinvent the wheel. Soundgoodizer.
It sounds boring. Soundgoodizer to the rescue. No, this is like a very. This is a question. It almost annoys me a little bit, this question, because like, you have to determine why your drop is boring. And this is one of the hardest things maybe in producing, because you have to think, is my kick all right? Is my bass line all right? Is the melody interesting? Are the chords interesting? Is it powerful enough? Are the sounds, separate all sounds all good? It's really hard to determine
why. And
it can be different every track. Sometimes I make a drop and I'm like, something's missing, but I just don't know what. It's just, that's also just going to happen a lot of times.
I really had this thing like 2 days ago, and there was this track, and I arranged it. It was sounding good, but at some point it started to bore me, and I also just didn't know what can it be. And then I started to actually, a little bit unpurposely, I loaded the parametric EQ 2, Fruity Standard, and I just made a bell and made it go up and then moved it over the spectrum, and it was on a loop, head loop and claps and I don't know what. But then that little bit of variance that it gave for like 4 bars was just enough to keep it interesting. So it was like this small detail, which most of the people won't even notice. But it's just that little bit that can make it has to be always a little bit dynamic, you know, and
So you
like a living creature. Yeah, not too straight, like too computerized and organized, so like Jupke.
Automating like the small little things in your track.
Yeah, and what if it's just a boring melody? Change your melody. Yeah,
I was listening to this track last week. It was a techno track, and it stood out to me like it's also one of those things that a normie would probably never hear, but a music producer does.
Oh, All Around the World, La 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 by Bassshakers.
Oh no,
I don't even know which one, but it was like a track with a hi-hat.
That one. Yeah, pretty, like you're talking now, it must be that one.
Pretty low in volume. But it was panned all around, so it constantly kept going around in the mix, and it wasn't necessarily up front in the mix, so it didn't stood out. But if you focus on it, I don't know. But it was a really interesting.
You remember? You have that meme, that movie, that guy who sounds like a mosquito.
No,
I don't know what you're doing, Ralph, but different appropriate.
Yeah,
like this.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, we managed 31 minutes without a sex joke, so let's go.
Game
next question.
Jay, what are the top three most embarrassing things that happened to you on tour?
I'm not easily embarrassed, I think. I don't know, man.
Come on.
No, I really don't know. I really don't know.
Never
one
never,
time with a girl. No, no.
Never really fall off stage.
Jay Stewey. Jay Barnway.
I'm so boring, man.
Never really fall off stage, push the play button.
Yeah, oh yeah. I did actually past weekend I pressed like the play button so it stops in a build up, and then I played it off as kind of like then you push the cue button and it goes where you stopped it, so then I played it off as like kind of like like, you know, like Chucky, or and I'm like, are you ready? But it's not embarrassing to me. I think maybe when I just started touring that would have been embarrassing, but it happened so many times and I don't care while I'm playing my set. So maybe this is one story. I think I already told this maybe, but one time the promoter got me so drunk that I woke up the next day in the hotel with all my clothes on still. And they called me like, your pickup's here. You're going to miss your flight. And then I went to Italy. And then I arrived at the airport and I looked not as clean cut as today. Everybody's like, what? But I looked like a mess, total hangover. And the doors of the airport open and there's a whole camera crew with like, hey, Jay, he's here, our artist for tonight. Then I was a little embarrassed because imagine having a hangover, looking like shit. And then there's a whole camera crew interviewing you. Are you excited for tonight? And you're like, yeah, I'm so excited. And
not really.
But yeah, that maybe that.
Next question.
Thank you.
He was waiting for this, that sneaky Joey.
Okay. This one's for Ralph.
Most embarrassing moments in the studio. Go.
I was podcasting this other day.
I was self-releasing one day, and then
on a podcast.
I do have an embarrassing moment to share. You can actually look it up on. I think it's still on YouTube.
Your press picture.
People pay for an OnlyFans.
That is Joey. That is a embarrassing moment.
Yeah, that's not one.
No, man.
Almost put this one in.
That's better. That's better.
Hey. You used to look so handsome.
Yeah, I know. What went wrong, right?
You say it.
Yeah. But there's a moment of me playing live at 538, which is the biggest Dutch national radio station. I was playing live there with Kill the Bus. And suddenly all the desks, like all the CDJs and stuff fell out. Like the power went off, like poof, during our set. And what happened, like you can see it if you look at the video, you can see us playing, but I was always kicking with my feet back when I was playing. And I just that completely ramped out the, how do you say that, like stacker?
Socket.
Yeah, the socket. I just kicked out the socket during the live set on Dutch radio, like live radio. So it took like, let's say, 5 seconds before the radio DJ, which was Daniel Lippens, I guess. He kind of got on air, said like, "Yo guys, what happened? It's still working here." And then like this girl, she was walking to us like, "Socket is out, man." It's like, what the fuck? So yeah, that happened on live radio, and it's on camera.
Ah, I in think that's too. Actually a pretty cool story.
It is. It is.
Where's the laughing and stuff?
No, it's not.
No. Hey guys, why am I out of focus? Here's the focus. Why doesn't it come back?
Your face is hardly recognizable. Okay.
Come on, focus. Come with me.
Last question for Ralph. What tips and tricks have you learned technically from working with W&W, since these guys are always next level with their productions?
It's totally the other way around.
They learn from you.
Hell yeah.
That was a laughing track.
You know who I really learned a lot from? I think... Oh man, I'm so not coming back next week.
Sure.
Now, is Jopke frozen or no?
He's no, I'm looking at the. I asked the people online yesterday if they had any questions. So.
I really learned a lot from Hartwell. He's the king. Technically, with mastering, nothing comes even close. And after working on energy with him, I totally revised my whole master chain. And worked wonders. And I got to say, and Wacht also, usually when I work with WW, I always sit down with Wacht. Wacht is amazing as well, and they're all amazing, to be honest.
I see another question come in. Why did you steal a track title from Tujamo and Jay Hardway?
Which one?
Energy, released in 2023.
I never heard it. Yeah.
So good. So good.
Yeah? No,
Was that 2023?
Yeah, that was last year. 3 million streams.
3 million?
Decent.
Okay. Hey, didn't know. I just stole it. Yeah, I thought good name.
Yeah. It is. It's very such unique. A good name. Very unique,
yeah.
When we released it, it was already very unique. So.
And what did you learn from Tujamo?
We worked on this collab over the internet, the interweb.
Ah. What's the internet?
I mean, it's funny. Not all collabs work in the same way. And
we did it the hard way.
You know?
Oh, Jesus.
Hey.
Man, I'm done.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
We still have some questions from my Instagram. Can we do those?
Oh, do you have questions? Yeah.
This is the
just
first question.
I intend to drop some cool knowledge, but fuck it.
This is the first question. Bass Jacker. Dutch Power is the second question. Hoe ben je zo'n grote DJ geworden?
Hey, working out, and are you doing a lot of protein?
How did you become such a big DJ? But by who? Simon Egas. Work to us, out. I guess.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
man. I think that's what
yeah, that's what we're trying to establish for months and years already. This is another question. When did you start DJing? I was 16, Ralph.
Our first frozen? Booking was in 2007.
Yeah, he's frozen,
in
right?
April. Am I gone?
Ralph!
Oh, yeah, trying to reconnect.
He's gone.
Wow. I don't know. Oh, there he is.
Yeah?
No, he's back. He's gone.
Hello.
Again.
Hello.
We're missing Ralph. What are you going to do, you know?
He's gone. I don't know. But are there any serious questions in there, or?
Hey, Rob's back with glasses and everything. Hey, this is funny because we were just talking about this. How do collabs happen?
Yeah.
And Ralph, I think, was just going to say some collabs happen in a different way.
Yeah, I think there's multiple ways, as in it can happen in real life if you meet each other and just talk about it and say, hey, let's do a collab, and you visit each other physically in the studio.
Yeah.
You can do it over the internet, just like you did, and like keep sending projects over and over. There's also like those streaming ways, right? So you can work together in a project from distance.
Yeah. I think, like technically there's many ways to work on something. You send over parts, or you send over the project if you work in the same DAW. But I think mostly how do they start, how they happen is, in my case with Tujamo, for example, is, I mean, we kind of know each other from touring or from, we know each other. And then I have a track that I'm like, hey, this kind of sounds like Tujamo. And then I send it to him and it's like, hey, would you like to do this as a collab? And he's like, hey, man, yeah, I really like it. And then I send him the parts and he changes the whole kick or the whole bass. And then you kind of come with a version that's the two of you. So that's a way it can happen. So that's how collabs happen, yeah, I think.
Different ways.
One artist reaching out to another artist and say, hey, shall we work together either in the studio or just through the internet? Or you already have a track that sounds like that artist and you're like, hey, man. Hey, Ralph really needs to pay his internet bill again, I think.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Am I back or not?
Horrible.
Yeah, no, half in, half out. Cool. The internet's terrible.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sandwich and why?
It's fucking KPN, man.
Favorite sandwich.
What's your favorite sandwich and why?
Well, I've multiple actually, but my one you can really wake me up for is a sandwich with pulled pork. I really love that, like with barbecue sauce. Great one.
Hi, Ralph.
Am I in now?
Yep.
That's what she said.
That's actually not what she said.
That's what he said. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Any other questions?
It would be a different about sandwich.
What's your favorite sandwich and why? Why, Joey? Why?
Why? I just really love the taste of the like the smoky flavor of the meat. The moisture.
That's what she said.
I kind of feel like this is getting back to me a lot of times. Okay. I just like the I'm not even gonna answer.
He just likes meat in his mouth, okay?
I have, like fat moisty meat in my mouth. That's all.
Cut him some slack, man. He just loves it.
There's just no way to answer this without replying. That's what she said. Okay, next one.
How finish the songs after producing overall initial ideas? That's actually very simple. You have an idea. You're like, hey, I like this melody. Just set it into what I sometimes do. Set it into an arrangement. This is where the intro starts. This is where the break starts. This is where the drop goes. You build the whole track like that. And then you start adding chords, start adding elements, start adding lead sounds, start adding drums. But it can help to make an arrangement first so that you kind of know where you need to build up the energy.
Energy, energy, energy.
I agree.
Next Rolf up. Agrees. Favorite golf club / what you hit the best by C-Trace Music. Favorite is my 7-iron.
That's a community member as well, C-Trace.
But I did recently get new wedges. If you're into golf, you'll know what I mean.
The wedgie.
The SM7 Vokey wedges. And yeah, those are now my favorite. So
DMJ for more info.
And then Josh Letissier, who's also a member.
Community member.
I have a release coming out on a dream label. Tips to make the most of it and maximize opportunities.
I think we went over that, right? It's like maximizing reach in every kind of way.
Yeah, so, and mention it everywhere.
Yeah, like the only thing you can really do is ask the label to promote it as in the best way possible and make sure you do everything yourself to get as many reach as possible. So do a lot of promotion yourself, do content on it.
Make sure they talk about it in podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
They and talk mention about it. It. Mention it to everyone and mention it the whole time, like on your social, like I have a release coming out on Spinning Records or whatever label. And then that kind of sets the, is helping people to remember.
Exactly.
And also in conversations with other producers and with like for your future collabs, be like, hey, I have a release on Spinning or whatever label it is. That helps getting collabs as well. So you can reach out to bigger artists. Everybody.
Everyone at all, yeah.
All at world.com.
Yeah. Another one?
No, that's kind of it with the questions. There were some Basecheckers fans in there. That's about it.
Skip them.
Is it very important to have a DJ Mag list? We talked about that in another podcast, I think. Someone wants to know the thoughts on the Bali Bandits.
What's happening
cool
there?
Guys. Do they still produce?
Yeah. Well, what's happening there? Why do we need our thoughts on that?
I don't know. He doesn't say why.
Okay.
Upcoming DJ and producer?
I don't know. I remember them from back in the days, but I'm not sure if they...
I also don't really know what they're doing at the moment. But then again, I limit my... how do you say? I focus on me. And I kind of limit what I see to, I don't know what I want to see.
Do you know that meme from Snoop Dogg? I want to thank me.
Oh, yeah.
And me.
It's not a meme. He just says it in his speech when he accepts
an award.
Yeah,
but they made a meme out of it. Like, love it.
I want to thank me.
Memes for life. Okay, guys. To all the listeners, thank you for sending in your questions. You actually managed to make it this episode as well, almost into an hour, or 47 minutes, but that's okay. Thank you for sending it in. Keep them coming if you do have another question. Huh?
This is it already?
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
If you do have another question, make sure to send it in. You're well more than welcome. Also, make sure to join the Artist Coaching Discord and join that beautiful community with lots of artists out there where we do bi-weekly Q&A sessions and talk about music all day, every day. Next week we will be back.
And don't forget to give us a thumbs up. Make sure to share it with everybody you know. And leave a comment, which is always cool when you're on YouTube. If you're listening on Spotify, I don't know what you do, but do something.
You can also like the, or I think that's follow with Spotify. You can follow a podcast.
You can also
rate the podcast in Spotify, which is also pretty important.
Yeah. You can also follow Basecheckers on Spotify.
At Jay Hardway.
Nice.
Joey Suki.
You can still follow me. I still have, I think it's 15,000 monthly listeners.
Will you ever release another record?
Probably.
I think it's a fair question. Why did nobody ask that?
Well, yeah. I do get that question every now and then. But it's more like I do kind of get... I feel like making music again. I just don't want to do it by my own.
He's getting back.
It's more like I do feel like doing studio sessions again. Like maybe with one of you guys, that would be fun. But not like on my own, like how I used to do it. Okay.
The good old I'm frozen approach.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Joey, you want to do a collab with me?
I'll call you.
That would be so cool. Just call me.
Well, that's my answer. So,
and also being like this, and then trying to drink something, and then Jay, you're not frozen. And I'm still like, and I'm like, and then, Jay, we can see you are drinking. You are not frozen.
Yeah, that's it. See you guys next week. Bye.
And the best for last, huh?